Welcome to the Startup Fair. Are you an exhibitor?
Yeah, Rachel Dunn, Twinkle Cupcakes.
Right. Got your schedule and coffee token?
Yep.
Oh, and your public liability insurance?
No.
We need it for all stallholders. Contact Direct Line. Their annual public liability policy covers you at trade fairs, and they'll email right away to confirm you're covered.
So I could still set it up today?
Sure.
With an extra coffee token.
Nice try. Next, please.
Instant proof and confirmation of cover. Can your public liability insurance do that? Search Direct Line Public Liability Insurance. Valid email address required, underwritten by UK Insurance Limited.
Wednesday, December 23rd, 2015, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. Hey, you know, we release a new podcast every single Wednesday, usually right about noon Mountain Standard Time. Try to bring you a little bit of insight, a little bit of common sense to your sports world. You can download, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Be sure not to miss a single episode. If you are subscribed there, anytime you refresh and there is a new episode up, it will automatically come to you. You can pretty much find anywhere podcasts are hosted. There's a number of sites out there, Stitcher, Podcast Republic. There's a number of places out there that have it. Or you can just go to our website if you'd like to, dailydosesports.wordpress.com. That is D-A-L-Y, dailydosesports.wordpress.com. We put up links to the podcast. You can check out a few different things there. We have articles that go up every single week. You know, I posted an article yesterday. I wrote a little bit of a Christmas song. You might want to go over and check that out. Christmas song there for the Denver Broncos. I wrote something for them. You might want to go check that out. We put up new things every single week. If you'd like to contact the show, got a question, got a comment, you'd like to send us a check or a money order or however you want to do it, PayPal. Whatever you'd like to contact the show for, you can email the show, dailydosesports@gmail.com. Would love to hear from you. You can also follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle is @dailydosesports, or you can like us on Facebook. It is the same name over on Facebook. We can keep you up to date and spice up that Facebook feed for you. Today on the show, we are going to be joined by Dylan Brooks, sports columnist who writes for NFL website cover32.com. I want to talk to Dylan a little bit about a few NFL stories that are coming out, including what's wrong with the Denver Broncos. They are struggling lately. Might talk a little bit about, you know, Odell Beckham's suspension. And we're going to talk a little bit about who's going to make the playoffs. Some big, big games coming up this weekend that do have playoff implications. There are a few spots up for grabs, and Dylan might be able to shed a little bit of light on who's going to get in, make a few picks, and give you some ideas there. You know, it's almost Christmas. Are you ready for Christmas? It is December 23rd. You've got, what, 2 days? You know, got to get out there and get that shopping done so you're not doing it at a gas station the night before. You're watching the Christmas specials. You're going through all the gifts. You're doing, you know, all those things, all those fun things. Are you ready for it? Do you have everything ready? You know, I might have to share a Christmas list with you here in just 1 minute. As usual today, we're going to have our Daily Dose Top 5, always a popular segment on the show. You want to stick around for that. Do you have everything ready? You know, it's funny. Because you just have a few days left to get, you know, those gift cards. You give me a $25 gift card, and then I give you one back. You know, it's the Christmas spirit right there. No thought whatsoever. I love it. I'm gonna be honest. You know, there's nothing like opening Christmas gifts from the people that you're closest to, from the people that you have close relationships. You don't share presents with, typically, with just like strangers. I mean, it's not like you're just handing out things on the streets. You typically share presents and these kind of things with the people that you are closest to. That's juicy you do. And then you're kind of reminded that you don't even know, like, these people well enough to actually buy them a gift. You have to get them the gift card because you're like, I realize we live together. I realize I spend most of my time with you. I realize we're family or friends or whatever it might be. I'm going to be honest, I'm not sure I know you quite well enough to actually buy you something that you're going to like. How about just a card and you go get it, because I'll probably mess it up. It's kind of, you know, how we do things today. And I love it. I'm not complaining. I, you know, get those cards. You can go do whatever you want with it. Speaking of things that we like, speaking of things, you know, that we want for Christmas, I've got a list of things that I'm actually going to be asking for. Don't get me wrong. I'm not being greedy. Some of these things are for other people. It's not that it's all for me. There are a few Christmas gifts, you know, I'm going to ask for myself, but I've got a few things I'm going to ask for. Here is my Christmas list for 2015. A few different things that I'm just asking for. And like I said, they're not all for me, but I've got a few things that I want to ask for Christmas this year. First off, for Denver Broncos head coach Gary Kubiak, I would like to ask, dear old Santa Claus, could you please bring this man some second half adjustments? Because the Broncos are going out in the first half. Obviously, the first series, they're starting to even look good. They've got some scripted plays. They've got some things that they're doing in the first half that are working. And then the other team changes, and Kubiak's like, yeah, that's kind of all I had. That was kind of it. I am out. I don't know what to do now. Stuff in the first half is no longer working. I'm not really sure what I should do. So I'm just asking, if Santa could bring him some second half adjustments, I would appreciate it. Gosh, I'm trying to think of some people, you know, that were big in sports this year. Jordan Spieth, Masters winner Jordan Spieth. He's just 20 years old. He's just a kid. I would like for Santa to bring him like a Tiger Woods cautionary tale. Like, don't, and here's the key. Like, there's a few different ways you can go on the, don't get your wife a set of golf clubs. Maybe that's probably the biggest lesson we can take from that. I'm sure there's another lesson in there somewhere, but I would like, Jordan, just be careful. You're young. You're very good. I'm not sure you're Tiger good, but you're very good. Be careful. Be careful, young man. There are obstacles out there for you. For Golden State Warriors guard Steph Curry, I would like Santa Claus to bring him a genuine thank you. Just a genuine thank you for teaching kids that you can play basketball with your mind and with your skills that you've honed with years and years of practice instead of just being bigger than everyone else. That's something that kids today are starting to watch and starting to say, hey, I think I could do that. Hey, I'm going to try to do that. I'm actually going to work on my skills. Yeah, you can't actually control how big you are, but you can control how hard you work and if you go out there and actually work on your game. So, you know, Steph Curry, he deserves that, I think. You know, soccer this year, with FIFA and the officials they had, I'm gonna give them like a Christmas wish. Here's what I'm wishing for FIFA officials. I'm hoping that while they are in prison, they teach a course on like ethics. Because, I mean, they were taking bribes, they were taking money. Here, we'll award you a World Cup, in your area or your country if you'll pay us enough for it. Hopefully while you're in prison, they have some sort of ethics course. For anyone out there, any of my listeners, just anyone in the world in general, if you bought and paid for the Floyd Mayweather versus Manny Pacquiao fight, I am wishing for you, I'm wishing that Santa Claus will bring you a full refund. Now, it was the fight I thought it would be. It went exactly how I thought it would go. But I tried to warn people, don't buy the fight. I said, you can listen to the show, you can go back and find old episodes. Don't buy this fight. It's not going to be a very good fight. It's probably not going to go the way you want it to go. Full refund for you. For Peyton Manning, quarterback Peyton Manning, I just wish Santa would bring him a body that is capable of performing the tasks that his mind knows to do. Like, his mind is sitting there saying, okay, drop back, three-step drop, I look here, I fire the ball, boom, it's in there, and the play moves on, and here we go. His body is not capable of doing those things. He knows what to do. He just can't do it. Hopefully, Santa helps him out there. For Kobe Bryant, Kobe Bryant had a pretty good game last night. Kobe Bryant, you know, I think he had 27. They beat the Nuggets. Way to go, Nuggets. Here's rock bottom for you. Here's what I'm hoping for Kobe. It's asking a lot. And this, I'm going to be honest, this is one of the toughest ones out there that I have on my list. It's probably not the toughest, but it's one of the toughest. Could you please let Kobe have an assist? Just one. I'm not asking for like a ton. I'm not asking for like a triple double or anything like that. Just one. Can you just give him one assist? Just one. For LeBron James. LeBron James, still one of the biggest, baddest dudes in the NBA. Probably, you know, one of the best players in the NBA. And this is a little bit of a tougher one. I realize, Santa, I'm asking for a lot on this one. Can you bring LeBron maybe a few more excuses? Should he fail to win it all again? Because, you know, Cleveland went out there and they re-got all these guys. They signed them to big contracts. He's got talent around him. We can't say he doesn't have talent around him. He does. He signed all these guys to big money. But if they don't get it done, if they get beat by Golden State or they get beat by San Antonio or they don't even make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, I feel like LeBron might need some more excuses. We've had some excuses for him in the past. Well, he didn't have good enough players. He had, you know, cramps. Yeah, he might need something else. He rammed his head into a camera, flopping. Whatever it is, I don't know. But just, he might need a few more excuses. For the New England Patriots. The New England Patriots. And their fans. It's not just the Patriots. It's and their fans. I just, Santa, can you please just bring them some karma? You know what I mean. You know what I mean. You listener, you're sitting right there. You know what I mean. I don't have to explain myself. Just a little karma. Just a tiny bit. For college football, just a few less bowls. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to look in on the bowls. But there's like 40 bowls this year. And here's the problem. We have had 5-7 San Jose State, 5-7 Nebraska, and 5-7 Minnesota. They all got bowls this year. They all got bowl games this year. Are we really rewarding people for going 5-7? That's what we want to do? Everyone gets a ribbon. Here's what I want to see. If we're going to do that, and we clearly are, because see, here's the thing. I know that I'm wishing for that, but what I'm basically wishing for is I'm wishing that colleges out there are basically going to say, well, we'd like to stop printing money. Because when they have these bowl games, they're getting paid. That's why they have the bowl games. So I realize that's not realistic. I know. I say it's too many bowl games. They ought to back it off. They ought to have like 20 bowl games, and that ought to be it. But I realize I'm wishing, will you guys stop printing money? I realize that's not realistic. So I'm going to change my wish just a little bit. If we're going to do that, and we're going to give bowl games to horrible teams, then let's do this. Let's schedule the only D1 teams in the country that don't have a win. So we got 0-12 Central Florida versus 0-12 Kansas in the toilet bowl or whatever. Maybe we should sponsor this. Maybe this should be the Daily Dose Bowl. Everyone else has a bowl. Why can't we have a bowl? The Daily Dose Bowl features 0-12 Central Florida versus 0-12 Kansas, and someone is going to get their first win of the year. I don't know who it's going to be. They're both horrible. I know Kansas has nearly a 400-point differential this season, so they're both awful. Maybe we should just do that. Maybe we, Santa, can you bring us the Daily Dose Bowl? I'll be honest. I might watch it. It would be kind of intriguing TV, wouldn't it? For NFL refs. For the NFL refs. And I know it's a thankless job. I did a little bit of officiating at a very low level. And it was one of the most challenging things I've ever done in my life. That was in basketball. Of course, basketball doesn't stop. You don't get the huddle in between. You're constantly going. But for NFL refs, I know it's a thankless job, but can you just some consistency? Just some? Any consistency? Just like the same call twice both ways? That's all I'm asking for. I can't. It's reached a point where I watch the games, and I'm having to cover some of these games, and I don't have any idea what the refs are going to call. I watch a play, I watch a catch, I watch an interception, and I look at it, and it used to be you'd say, okay, well, he's got control, he's got 2 feet. I don't have any idea now. I don't have any idea. The NFL has botched this so horribly, I don't have a clue what's what in the NFL anymore. They look at a replay, and I can look at it and say, well, yeah, that's clearly a catch, and they'll come back, no catch. I'll look at the same replay, almost the exact same play, and I'll say, well, they ruled it a catch last time. This time, nope, that's not a catch. I can't figure out what they're doing. NFL refs, can you just have some consistency? Just any. For college basketball. Gonna ask Santa Claus for something for college basketball. Can you give us just some sort of reason for the general public to watch your games before March Madness? I know that sounds crazy because we could care less about college hoops. We don't care 1 ounce. This nation does not care 1 ounce about. Now, once it hits March Madness, then we're all experts. Then we're all watching. It's not a horrible product. It's a decent product. on certain nights, it's better than some of the NBA games that are out there. But there is, maybe they need like a game of the week, or they need to publicize it, or hey, we got a big tournament and we're going to make a big deal out of it. We're going to put it on a primetime network, or we're something. Because there is no reason to watch college hoops right now, unless you're just a college hoops junkie. You're not watching it. Nobody watches it. They just don't. For youth sport parents, there's a lot of youth sports parents out there. Your son or daughter plays baseball or softball or soccer or football or basketball or whatever it might be. Here's what I'm asking good old Chris Kringle to bring you this year. A dose of reality. Stop thinking that your dumb, ugly child is a future professional athlete. They're not. And, you know, we were at a game this last week. We're at a game. Nine-year-old recreational league. Stop thinking that that's the NBA Finals. I'm looking up in the stands, and the parents are losing their minds. They're on their feet. They're screaming at the ref. They're screaming at the coach. They're screaming at the kid. The kids could care less. They just want to know if they're going to get an orange and a soda after the game. They don't care. We are the only ones who care. Parents, stop it. One of my final wishes for the Chicago Cubs and their faithful fans, I'm wishing for, you know, a World Series this year. They've got pieces. They've got talent. They've got bats. They've got pitching. They've got a very, very good manager. They have a chance. The Chicago Cubs have a chance this next year to do something that hasn't been done in over 100 years. Could the Chicago Cubs possibly win the pennant? Go to the World Series? Is that asking too much? Would I be better off asking Santa to, like, bring peace to the Middle East? It kind of feels that way. For me personally, you know what I'd like? I'd like a few more listeners. So please, if you're listening to the podcast right now, share the podcast with your friends, with your coworkers, with your family. Would appreciate that so, so much. Got a few things coming down in the world of breaking news that we have to get to. You might have seen, and I want to talk to Dylan in just a few minutes about this. The Pro Bowl selections are in. Pro Bowl selections are in. We have the players picked. The rosters are set. The Carolina Panthers lead the NFL with 10 players selected for the Pro Bowl. You know, kind of interesting. They have a ton of players. I mean, you know, Josh Norman, Cam Newton, Greg Olsen, Jonathan Stewart, Mike Tolbert, Ryan Khalil. I mean, they've put together quite a roster back there. Tom Brady was selected for the 11th time. You know, so it'll be interesting. Now, it's more this part of it, like the selection of the Pro Bowl players, is far more, you know, interesting. And I think it is actually back in Hawaii this year, but it's far more interesting than the actual Pro Bowl itself. It's more just fun to talk about. Denver Broncos get 4 players in there. They're all on the defensive side. We'll talk to Dylan here in just a few minutes about that. New Orleans Saints quarterback Drew Brees has a torn plantar fascia in his right foot. It sounds to me like it's a complete tear. It's not a partial. The partial tears on those are way, way, way worse. Brees is saying that he still wants to finish out the season. He's still got 2 games left. If I'm the Saints, I'm shutting him down. I'm not even thinking twice about that. There is no reason. The Saints are horrible. They're not going anywhere. Get him out of there. Are you watching any of the bowl games? You might have seen the bowl game last night, the Boca Raton Bowl or something. Toledo beat Temple last night. There hasn't been the great bowl games just yet. Utah and BYU started off horrible. Utah scored 35 straight points in the first quarter. BYU actually did come back and make that close. See, I said last week to keep an eye on BYU because you know those BYU boys are going to be a little bit shocked just at what they've seen over the past few days being in Las Vegas. And that's exactly what happened. They got down 35-0 because they were probably still trying to, you know, gather themselves and figure out where they were at. They came back and closed it up to 35-28. Couldn't quite get it. The New Mexico Bowl, Arizona-New Mexico, it was decent. It was okay. I mean, Arizona won 45-37 or something. I don't know. But there hasn't been real great games yet. There was one game, Ohio and Appalachian State, I think, that was close. But we've got the good games coming. Now, I told you last week that I might be doing a preview this week of the big bowl games. We're probably going to push that out to next week because we still have another week to go. So we'll probably push that out to next week. You might have seen last night, talking college hoops just a little bit, Michigan State had to go to overtime last night to beat Oakland. They ended up holding on. Michigan State is the number one team in the country in college hoops. They managed to hold on and get by Oakland 99-93. Understand this. I still think Michigan State is going to be there at the end. They played last night, though, without Denzel Valentine, who is their best player. He's out with a knee injury right now. So college hoops, again, we're not interested yet, but as it starts getting closer and closer to March Madness, you got to keep some of these wins in mind. Let's jump in right now. We go right now to the Daily Dose hotline. You know, I want to talk to Dylan Brooks. He is a columnist for an NFL website called cover32.com. And you can also see his work on dylanbrookssports.wordpress.com. I want to talk to Dylan just a little bit about the NFL playoff picture and some of the scenarios that are playing themselves out. Dylan has joined us before. He's got some great thoughts on the NFL. He's got some great thoughts on sports in general. But I wanted Dylan to come in and give us some thoughts. Dylan, thank you so much for joining us again. I really, really do appreciate it.
Hey, it's a pleasure, Quinn. Thanks for having me on again.
Dylan, you know, we're here in the Mile High City. We're here in Denver. Obviously, you know, following the Broncos and that kind of thing. A lot of the love that was out there for Brock Osweiler kind of starting to fade just a little bit. Broncos are now 3-2 with Brock, and they can't score points in the second half right now. 0 second half points in the last three games. I hate to lead off with a big question. I'm going to give you a big question and serve one up right away. If Peyton Manning is healthy, who is the starter in Denver?
Peyton Manning, easy.
Yeah,
it has to be.
I agree with you. My question has always been this year has always been his health. I don't know what to expect from him health wise. If he's healthy, I agree with you. I think he's got to be the guy. Let me ask you this. With the offensive line, what it is, does it make any difference?
That's a good point to bring up. I think just because there's two games left, you have to, if Peyton Manning's healthy and he says he's healthy, he's cleared to play, he has to start. He has to get two games under his belt, even though there are two huge games that must be won.
Right.
He has to get rhythm going into the playoffs. You can't start him cold in the playoffs. And what it came down to me was if Brock Osweiler was able to win against Pittsburgh, I was going to say 100% put down he has to be the starter for the rest of the season.
Sure.
And the reason is because you don't fix something that isn't broken. If Brock was able to bring you a W against the Steelers, he's probably going to be able to do it against the Bengals, coming off that momentum and with the lack of pressure that we would have had. And at that point, who are the main teams in the AFC? The Patriots, the Steelers, and the Bengals, and he would have had wins against all of them. So you have a team that would be able to go into the playoffs and be like, okay, we've already played him once before. We know it works. We're confident. As opposed to switching quarterbacks completely. Like, okay, well, we want Brock, but we don't really know if we can win with Manning. Unfortunately, we blew a big game in Steeler country. And so I think at that point, you got to go back to Peyton Manning, your solid rock, your guy. And if he's ready to go, I think he's got to be the guy.
Well, let's talk about that Steeler loss just for a few minutes. The Broncos lose to the Pittsburgh Steelers. They led 27-10 at one point in this game. The offense went away. The defense eventually wore down and kind of wore out. First off, let's touch on the offensive side. What happened to the offense where they scored 27 points? They were scoring at will. They were 8-for-8 on third down conversions. What in the world happened to that Bronco offense?
I mean, have you ever seen a team go 8-for-8 on third down and a half?
It's pretty rare.
I don't think I've seen that, especially as a Bronco fan, and that's incredible. I mean, our offense was churning. Boy, was it churning. Brock was making plays. Everybody was making plays. The line was holding up. And then this trend of three games, I don't know if we blame it on the coaching staff not being able to make halftime adjustments or not being able to respond to the halftime adjustments that the other team makes.
Sure.
After we give these teams a nice butt kicking in the first half, because that's really what it was the last three games. I mean, 17-3 against the Chargers, butt kicking. 12-0 should have been, heck, 28-0 against the Raiders. We dropped a touchdown with Demaryius and left a lot of opportunities out there.
Right.
We had negative yards of offense. And then the Bengals, I mean, the Steelers were up 27-10 on the road. I mean, you just question our coaching, what's going on in the second half there in the locker room. What are they saying?
Well, and it looked
very
like
interesting.
It was. It looked to me like the Steelers decided, okay, we've seen what you've done. It looked like they were playing a little bit of man coverage early. They went to some mixed up zone, and they started to take away, especially Emmanuel Sanders. And Emmanuel Sanders in the first half was putting up huge numbers. I think he had something like 9 catches for 116 yards or some ridiculous thing. In the second half, we start seeing the Steelers drop into some complex zones, and it started to look like Brock was a guy who had only started 5 games, which is exactly what he is. And I'm not seeing the adjustment where they say, okay, if you're going to drop into that zone, then we're going to run these long drag patterns, and we're going to flood that zone and make you find our guys. I'm not seeing those adjustments. It looked like they kept trying to throw the same passes in the second half that they had success with in the first half, and now it's no longer working.
Yeah, my question is to you, even, is what do you think is going through Gary Kubiak's mind, honestly, when the game against the Raiders, he threw the ball 50-plus times, and this game he put the ball up almost 40 times, I believe it was. I mean, and with a quarterback who's in his fourth and fifth start, I just don't see why he's putting Brock in 50 and 40 pass games. It's almost like he's trying to see what he's got going in, and seeing if he can put a whole load on the Brock, and if he can handle throwing the ball. But yeah, you're right. They tried to do the exact same stuff, and it didn't make sense, because you look at the Steelers, yeah, they're number two passing offense, but the Broncos are the number one passing defense. And what did they do? They tried to impose their will against our number one defense, which was passing. The Broncos, yeah, the Steelers are top 10 rushing defense, but we have, with a 17-point lead, I guess it's a 14-point lead at half, we have to try and burn some clock. I know they have an amazing rushing defense, but you have to run the ball more times just to get the clock going, and then maybe you find a play-action game or you get a run through here or there. It seemed like the Broncos just accepted the fact that the Steelers' strong point was rush defense and didn't even really attempt to attack it, which was where it was frustrating for me.
Well, and here's what I wonder. When I looked at that situation, because I'm always going to look at stuff from at least a little bit of a coaching perspective, what I wonder, and I don't know this, what I wonder is, did Gary Kubiak sit there and say, I don't have the running backs because C.J. Anderson's still battling that foot and ankle injury, and Ronnie Hillman now has the foot injury too, plus he put the ball on the ground. The offensive line, I think this offensive line is a little bit better in the run game, or has shown signs of being better in the run game sometimes in the past, but I wonder if he looked at his running backs and just said, I don't have the people, I don't have the runners, so we're just going to try to throw the ball over. I can't make sense of it. It doesn't make any sense to me. I have no idea.
I mean, you look at the Patriots, they're running back shopping right now. They got depth, and they're still plugging and chugging. I mean, Derek Kubiak comes from, what is he known for? Being able to plug in any running back and get not only mediocre results, but great results. And it's like, you got to have somebody ready to step in. And if not, you got to attack free agency. There's a lot of free agent running backs that are a little bit in their prime, but definitely can come in and make a difference for you. It's just kind of interesting that the guy who's known for being able to plug and chug a running back in this system is shying away from what he's known for.
Yeah, and they have struggled so bad to run the ball. And I don't know if it's just that offensive line. It was working for 2 or 3 games. Now the running game has completely gone away from them, and they're struggling. Hey, the defense, which has been so good, you alluded to that earlier. The defense has been so good, they allowed nearly 400 yards. What in the world happened to the Denver Bronco defense against that Steeler offense?
It's the safeties. The reason we've been number one is because we've been solid at every position. And when I mean solid, I mean Pro Bowl caliber solid. And I mean, you look at how we won early on. It was safety play. It was Darian Stewart making big plays, interceptions. And then you lose Darian and TJ Ward in the last 2 games. You saw the defense lose that communication between Aqib Talib and Chris Harris, where they think that they have a guy here in the backfield, and they just don't. They don't have that chemistry that they have built over the last 2 years.
Yep.
So it's 100% safety play, especially you saw the Steelers exploit it. I mean, I think there was a play, the game-winning touchdown for the Steelers. Chris Harris is singled up on Antonio Brown, the entire right side of the field, and they have Bush on the far left side as a safety and trying to rotate him over. It just didn't make any sense, and you feel like if Darian Stewart or TJ Ward were in the game, they would have been able to react quicker or even get a better position pre-snap. It just, when you lose veteran players in the backfield for the secondary, it makes a difference. It really does. especially with our safeties who are tackling safeties, they do a lot of everything. So those are huge losses, and you can't overlook that.
Yeah, here's one thing that I wonder about too. Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware, I think they combined for one quarterback hit in that game. I thought Malik Jackson was phenomenal. I thought Derek Wolfe was very, very good early. Ware and Von, where are they at?
That was another thing that bothered me. We had Malik and Derek Wolfe giving pressure up the middle. You think, well, there you go. That's
sure.
Your outside linebacker's best friend right there is up, pressure up the middle. How do you not succeed on that? I guess, and again, even against Big Ben, who holds on to the ball forever. It's very weird that they were not able to get a sack, let alone more than one QB hit. There were a lot of plays where they kind of just tried to go speed rush and go outside and just try and run around the lineman there in hopes that Big Ben would hold on to the ball longer than he did to create a big play. But again, without those safeties, Big Ben was able to kind of get rid of the ball quicker than he usually does.
Right. You know what I'm starting to wonder, and I hate to wonder this. DeMarcus Ware has not looked the same since that back injury. He just hasn't had the explosion that he had earlier in the season. He was a guy that people were having to find on every single play, and that doesn't seem to be the case anymore. I just wonder if he's lost a little bit due to that back. If there's anything, I don't know if there's anything worse to a big man. I know in basketball, there's nothing worse than a bad back.
Yeah, it's that pesky back, and it's almost like you really can't even do anything other than lie down without trying to strain it.
Right.
You think after, what was it, 4 weeks of not playing, you come back a little bit healthier, ready to go? But I think, yeah, you're right. We're seeing some sort of back injury that's kind of affecting him now on the field. And what I like about DeMarcus Ware is he's a leader. So whether he's, if he's on the field and he's not making the plays that we saw early in the season, that's fine because he's a leader and he does put us in the right plays in the right positions. And again, you saw that rustiness with him, too. He hasn't been in the game. I'm sure there's a couple of things he wish he could have done better. So I don't want to say it's panic mode right now, but we got to get healthy, and we got to continue to block out the media and stay as a strong 53 and just focus on next week.
Sure. Hey, I want to jump over and talk a few of the games coming up this weekend. But before we do, NFL Pro Bowl voting came out last night, and I want to talk about just a few of the players on that. One of the things that kind of stood out, and one of the things that you had brought up, the Denver Broncos get four Pro Bowlers named, not a single player from that offense. And I know that's not a huge shock, but it's a huge difference from what we've seen here in Denver. Chris Harris, Von Miller, Aqib Talib, and DeMarcus Ware all voted to the Pro Bowl. Arizona Cardinals had, I believe it was seven players voted in, and the Carolina Panthers, I think they had something like 9 or 10. Now, the one thing about the Pro Bowl, and the Pro Bowl, I realize, is I've tried to come up with some better schemes for the Pro Bowl. You and I might have to talk about this at some point, because I have some different ideas about the Pro Bowl because I hate the game. But what we're going to start seeing now we're going to start seeing about 30 guys back out. So we'll start seeing, like, there's six quarterbacks or whatever. We'll start seeing the top five guys. By the end of it, like, Johnny Manziel will be in there, and it'll end up just being horrible. I don't know. Brock may make the team by the time it's all said and done.
Brock making Pro Bowl is his first year.
It could totally happen.
Yeah.
Remember a few years ago, the Pro Bowl players, we got Robert Griffin in there and Andy Dalton after a horrible season. And I mean, it was like the seventh and eighth vote. Eventually it went down to them because nobody wants to go to this dumb game. Nobody even goes to it anymore.
I know. What happened there? It used to be like, what was it? Like 8 years ago, it was like an honor. You had Peyton Manning and Tom Brady showing up year in and year out. And then as soon as, they make that first postseason push where they go kind of deep, they're kind of like, you know what, it's not really that worth it. They're changing the rules. You can't be physical, and those players that do be physical, they're looked at as mean.
Right.
They make the defense only play a couple zones, so it's like the defenders can't really even do anything. They're just basically pawns for the offense to make cool plays, and then they can't tackle the offense. It's almost like, yeah, we get it. You know, you got to have that all-star game, best of the best, but in football, it really doesn't work.
No, it doesn't.
one injury is all it takes to derail a career and a team.
Well, and you know, it's just one of those sports that doesn't translate well. And I'm not a huge baseball guy, but baseball translates well for an All-Star game. Basketball even translates a little bit. I wish they'd pretend to play defense, but I get it. Football, you just can't go out there and compete at any sort of a level in any kind of an All-Star game like that. I have a couple of ideas. See, I would like to do either have them go in and do like a skills competition and let's see, you know, fastest guy or who throws at the front. I'd rather see something like that than the garbage they put out there. Or I want something just completely inane and stupid where they have to go, you know, do like Battle of the Network Stars and we see if like Tyrann Mathieu can like swim the English Channel or something. Give me something entertaining. I'm not entertained by this game at all.
You know what? I really like that. Maybe put them in different sports and see who has the ultimate athleticism.
Yes.
I wouldn't even mind seeing them dress up full uniform and do skills drills in the stadium instead of a game.
American gladiators. Let's have them hit each other with those big Q-tips.
Exactly, right? Something that'll give us something to cheer about, because now it's kind of become a joke, to be honest, which is why these top players that are getting voted don't really feel the need to go anymore.
Right. No, that's exactly what it is, because they look at it and they know it's a joke. Hey, I got named, and now I can pull my name out of it because I'm not going. Plus the fact that, I don't even know if they do it in Hawaii. I think they did it in Arizona last year. Yeah, that's what I want to do is play a phenomenal season so I get to go to Tempe. Awesome.
Yeah, and it kind of started, too, with the big names. You know, when a big name pulls out, like a Tom Brady or Peyton Manning, it kind of sits you there questioning, like, okay, well, he was the MVP last year and he didn't come, so why should I go? Maybe he knows something that I don't. Maybe he's not trying to get hurt.
No, you're exactly right. Yeah, because if I see Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady pull out, then why on earth am I going to go?
Exactly.
All right, let's shift over. Let's jump over. I'm done with the Pro Bowl. I'm done for now. You know I'm going to gripe about it later. Just remember that I'm going to. Let's talk about the games coming up this week, because we have five or six games coming up this week that have some serious playoff implications and have they're gonna kind of tell us who's going to get in. And I want to get some picks from you and get some thoughts on a couple of these games. First off, Thursday night, Christmas Eve, our big game is San Diego at the Oakland Raiders, and we're not even going to talk about that because that's a horrible game between two horrible teams. So never mind. I'm not going to talk about that. Okay, let's go to the next one. I can't even believe I'm going to talk about this, but I have to. The 7-7 Washington racist nicknames are going to Philadelphia to face the 6-8 Eagles. Now, the Redskins can clinch the NFC East. I can't believe I'm saying this out loud. The Redskins can clinch the NFC East with a win. Or if the Giants lose, Redskins at Eagles, how do you see that garbage scenario playing out?
Well, first of all, didn't we just get spoiled on Christmas Eve? I mean, wow.
Oh,
we had some amazing games to watch. I can't believe it.
I know. That is a nail biter. And you know what's funny is I actually picked San Diego this past week to win because it was their final game at home and they were playing the Dolphins. I was like, you know, they have talent. I look at that roster. They remind me, they're the Detroit Lions of the West Coast. Like, you look at their roster and you're like, no, you have guys. I don't know why you're not producing every single season. You never do, though. Anyways, okay. Redskins, yeah. Redskins, Eagles. Hey, Redskins can win the NFC East. I don't know how with Kirk Cousins, but they could win it. Who do you see winning that game?
Well, yeah. I mean, first of all, The insane thing is the Redskins were an afterthought in the worst.
Oh, totally.
Football. They were an afterthought, and now they're ahead. So that's insane in its own right. But I think the Redskins could easily win this, and I don't see why they wouldn't win it. Right now, Kirk Cousins is playing amazing football. Granted, he plays very, very, very well when he's at home and not as well on the road. But I just don't see Chip Kelly getting over that hump. I think he really shot himself in the foot with some of the moves he made. And some of the offensive plays he's called in some key moments. And I could just see the Boo Birds coming out in Philly as soon as one thing goes wrong, and the team's just not going to be able to recover from that. And plus, I don't really want to see a team go to the playoffs without a winning record. That's where I stand. I think Washington deserves it in that right, and I think they're going to clinch it, because talk about a team that wasn't even talked about. They have a chance to write their own destiny and get a home playoff game.
So insane.
And where that stands, that's against the Seahawks. That's a huge game. I know the Seahawks are a great team, but getting a chance to play Seahawks not at home and being able to have a home game is huge. I just don't see how Washington, you know, rolls over and lets the Eagles take it.
You would certainly hope not. Here, so you're gonna go with Washington. Here's how I'm gonna pick on this. Because nothing in the NFC East has made any sense whatsoever, I'm going to go with Philadelphia, and it doesn't make any sense, and I'm not going to back it up with any sort of stats, or I'm just going to go off of that division is just a complete dumpster fire, so of course it's going to go sideways again. Let's go to the Giants. Speaking of that same division, the Giants go to Minnesota this week. Minnesota kind of gone through a little bit of a slump. They're sitting at 9-5, and they can clinch a playoff berth with a win as well. The Giants have to win and then hope for some help. I think they have to hope for, like, I don't know, the Redskins and Eagles to tie or some ridiculous tiebreaker. But the Vikings kind of went through a struggle where it seemed like they couldn't quite run the ball. Bridgewater was struggling a little bit. I don't know if they've shaken that off. Who do you like Giants going to Minnesota this week?
That's a tough game. You saw the Giants play very well in a huge comeback against the undefeated Panthers. We know the Giants' offense can hang with the best of them. We know their defense can have big moments. But I like Minnesota. I said at the beginning of the year, Minnesota is going to be a wild card this year. They almost even won the division. I think Minnesota is going to be a playoff team, hands down. In order for them to do that, I think they need a win against the Giants, and I think they will get that. I think Adrian Peterson's playing well. I think Stephon Diggs is starting to come back. Teddy Bridgewater just looks like a veteran quarterback in his second year, which makes no sense. I mean, if you saw Teddy in the preseason, he was by far the best quarterback in the entire NFL, with only one incompletion all of the games that he played in.
That's so crazy.
And I think Minnesota's going to come out with a win there. But, I mean, did we see the Norman OBJ boxing match that took place last week? I'm sorry, I have to talk about that. I thought that was some of the most entertaining football I've seen. Granted, it's not football, but boy, did those guys go at it.
Well, and here is the crazy thing, because there's a couple of stories coming out about that. I'm glad you brought it up. There's a couple stories coming out about that. First off, one of the things coming out is that he had seen I guess he had seen Panther players come out with that bat that they have, and that's kind of their rallying thing or whatever. Did he think they were going to come hit him with the bat? Was he afraid? I don't know if I understood any of that.
Who knows? You know, with the NFL, there's a lot of players that do some dumb things. Who knows? That could be the next thing where a player brings a bat onto the field and actually assaults the
ball. I just hope it happens to Tom Brady. Did I just say that?
What was that?
My bad. Never mind. We'll delete that. it didn't make any sense. Here was my issue with it, honestly. And I'm not gonna blame the refs for it. But here was my issue with it. You had how many of these personal fouls and these unsportsmanlike? If you just go over to these guys from the beginning and say, "Hey, you're gone. If it happens again, it ends it." And it seems like the refs kind of tolerated it, and then you end up with this huge melee, and they kind of wonder why. It didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, it's kind of probably because it's the number one receiver against, currently, I guess right now, the number one cornerback, because he's on an undefeated team and he's shutting down the best players. I mean, as a ref, do you really want to be that guy that ejected the number one player at his position in a pretty big NFC game because of some back and forth? It's almost at that point you just kind of let him go at it until one player really goes too far, which OBJ was very close on doing on that crackback hit.
Oh, I totally thought he did, yeah.
I'm surprised Norman didn't go down on that, especially when you see in slow-mo's head jerks back. But, yeah, it's the second half of the game, even when it was heating up, I wasn't watching anything but those two when they lined up.
Sure. No, it was entertaining. It was actually pretty fun to watch, and the game was chippy. It was actually, I don't know, it was crazy. And then we saw, you know, that Beckham ended up getting suspended for the one game. That probably is going to hurt the Giants this week. Let's move over to the AFC. 12-2 Patriots go to the 9-5 Jets. The Patriots can clinch home field with a win or with the Cincinnati loss. Do the Jets have anything for New England this week?
Well, they better not, because the Broncos need the Jets to lose big time.
Yes, they do.
But the Jets are playing great. I mean, you see the chemistry between Fitzpatrick, Decker, and Marshall. I mean, the number two wide receiver in overall touchdowns since 2012 is Brandon Marshall. The number three wide receiver in overall touchdowns since 2012 is Eric Decker. So clearly these guys can play. Bilal Powell is playing. playing great second man running back for the Jets. Their offense is clicking, and their defense we know is good with Darrell Revis and all those guys out there. They play the Patriots well. They do this every year, it seems like. Last game they played, they only lost by three. They could have won, heck, if Brandon Marshall had caught a touchdown pass that was right in his hand late in the game. So, yeah, they do have what it takes to bring a W, but I think the Patriots are done losing this regular season. I think they're going to finish 14-2. Tom Brady's Tom Brady. Bill Belichick's Bill Belichick. I'm sure Bill will do something defensively to shut down one of those two great receivers. And, again, just for the Broncos' sake, we absolutely need the Patriots to come in a win, which is kind of weird to say.
Right, right. Yeah, and I'll go Patriots as well. I think the Jets will keep it close, and they might even scare them a little bit, but I think eventually, Brady and the Patriots will get it done. 10-4 Packers go to the 12-2 Cardinals. The Packers can clinch the NFC North with a win, or if the Vikings were to lose that. Arizona, though, can clinch a first-round bye if they can get this win. Who do you like, Packers at Cardinals?
Well, just because of the inconsistency in Aaron Rodgers and the lack of wide receivers being unable to get open, I'm going to go Cardinals. I mean, Carson Palmer had a good night this last week, but he didn't have a statistic amazing night, and the team still put up 40 points.
Sure.
That's saying something when the team with a great quarterback and amazing receivers doesn't even really need to produce to just dominate a game. So I think as a whole, Arizona Cardinals are leaps and bounds better than the Green Bay Packers. The Packers offense would really have to have an outstanding effort from Aaron Rodgers, which we've seen just hasn't been there, hasn't been that switch that he can just flip on and just dominate a game in his MVP year last year. So I think Arizona walks away with it. It does suck that Tyrann Mathieu's out.
Yeah, it does.
He was a huge, huge part of that defense, was making huge plays, and really was rallying not only as a player, but as a captain and a leader for that team. So that's going to be a huge shot. I'm very interested to see how the defense responds without Tyrann.
You know, with Mathieu, he's such an interesting player because he's so versatile, and his versatility is, I think, what makes that Arizona defense so, so good. He actually can, I mean, he can play corner, he can drop back, he can play safety. He's played a number of snaps at outside linebacker this year. I think he changes their defense. His loss, I hate to say, makes me kind of worry a little bit for the Cardinals in the postseason. In this game, I think they'll be just fine, because I think the Packers kind of have a little bit of an identity problem. They're not quite sure what they do. Offensively, are you going to run with Fat Lacy? Are you going to still try to throw it around when you don't have the wideouts? I don't know exactly what the Packers are going to do. I do think the loss of Mathieu will hurt them eventually. I just don't think it'll be this week. I'm going to give you a garbage game. I'm going to throw you a softball here. But it has playoff implications. 3-11 Browns go to the 9-5 Chiefs. Chiefs can clinch the playoffs with a win and a Jets or Pittsburgh loss. Any chance for the Browns here with Johnny Football, Jonathan Football?
Well, I'll tell you what, this is a big game for Johnny Football. Johnny Football can make some Johnny Football-like plays we saw at Texas A&M and actually beat a hot, and I'm talking red hot, no pun intended for the Chiefs color there. They are on an 8-game winning streak. They should be better than the Broncos record-wise. I mean, if they don't choke that game week 2 against the Broncos at home,
oh, it's
this
crazy.
Team probably is 12-2.
I mean, they are.
Honestly, this team is good. No one's given them the light of day. They've been scaring me all year, and I don't see them even coming close to losing to the Browns.
No.
I think they're just going to completely put a stomping on them. I mean, you look at Justin Houston, Tom Bahali, they both got voted to the Pro Bowl. Marcus Peters is a rookie, has 7 interceptions. He's playing lights out.
Looks like he's going to be a star.
Johnny Football making any amazing plays against this stout defense, and Alex Smith is playing fundamentally brilliant football, not doing anything he doesn't have to do while making all the right plays at the right time. But it would be incredible for Johnny Football, and he's got to be licking his chops because this is an interview for him. This is probably the biggest interview that he's going to have, probably the last one he's going to have in his NFL career, to really make a statement and be like, hey, I can play quarterback in the NFL. I'm not a Tim Tebow. I'm not a Russell Wilson. I'm a Johnny Manziel. If he could come out with a win against this red-hot 8-game win streak Chiefs, I think he's solidified himself a starting role for next year. So it's basically going to come down to that, but I think the Chiefs are going to, again, put the Broncos on their heels and go for a ninth win in a row.
Yeah, I'll take the Chiefs in that one as well, and I just hope that it's even close. Okay, let's get to the big one. Let's get to the Monday night game. We actually have a good game on Monday night this week, kind of incredible. The 11-3 Bengals, granted they lost Andy Dalton, but the 11-3 Bengals are going to come to Denver to face the 10-4 Broncos. Monday night game, primetime game. The Bengals can clinch a first-round bye with a win, which would be obviously pretty big for them. The Broncos can clinch the playoffs with a win and a Jets or a Pittsburgh loss, which we've already talked about. Both of those things legitimately could happen. Bengals at Broncos, who do you got?
Well, the Broncos are at home. Since 2012, the Broncos are 27-4 at home, so that bodes well for us. Those were obviously under Peyton Manning when he was Peyton Manning. We don't know who's going to start in this game at quarterback. We don't know if Peyton Manning will come back with a long week on Monday or if Brock will start. I mean, if Brock starts, you couldn't write this headline in a Hollywood movie, could you? I mean,
it would be incredible.
Quarterbacks fighting for home field advantage, a crucial, crucial home field advantage at that. Talking about a Bengals team that hasn't won a playoff game or gone first round since Andy Dalton got there. And then you got Peyton Manning in what could be probably his last year as a Bronco, maybe even in the NFL, trying to get his last good run at a Super Bowl here. So you couldn't write this in Hollywood. This game has defense written all over it. Again, the number one weapon I think that is going to be the star of this game is going to be A.J. Green. Doesn't really matter who his quarterback is. If his quarterback has the ability to throw the deep ball, which A.J. McCarron does, he's always going to be a threat even against our cornerbacks. This game's going to be intense. It's going to be one to watch on primetime Monday night. I don't know who's going to win this game.
It's a tough
one. I'll be there. I'll be in the stands. I don't know who's going to win this game. We saw our defense not be able to hold 17-point lead. We saw our offense 3 weeks in a row not be able to respond in the second half. This game's going to be huge, huge for this AFC playoff seeding. I could definitely see the Bengals coming out with a win here under A.J. McCarron with a Bengals team that just knows that they need this win to get them over this 4 or 5 year hump of not being able to get past the first round.
Sure, sure. Well, and I think the big question for me, and you and I talked about it earlier, is are those Broncos safeties going to be back on the field this week? We know that they lost David Bruton. Ended up playing like 40 snaps with a broken leg. Dude's a stud. But can they get Ward? Can they get Darian Stewart back? Because I think that group changes this defense quite a bit. If they're back, I give the Broncos a shot. I'll give them a shot. If they're not, I don't like their chances. I think the Bengals will come in here and steal another ugly game. I sincerely hope I'm wrong, but we got to see what the injury front is going to hold for them. So I'm gonna go Bengals. But if the safeties come in and play, then I'll probably switch that to the Broncos.
I agree.
Okay. Well, hey. Dylan, I have to say thank you so much for coming in, giving us some insight into the NFL, giving us a look at some of the playoff scenarios that are coming up. You know that you are welcome to come by anytime. Would love to have you join us again sometime here on the Daily Dose. And I really hope you have a great holiday, and we'll be talking soon.
Thank you, sir. Again, I appreciate you giving me the time to speak my mind. It's always a pleasure speaking football with you.
Thanks, Dylan. As we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. You know it's got a little bit of a holiday flavor. You know, the Daily Dose Top 5, I get a lot of comments on it. I get a lot of feedback on it. You never quite know where it's going to go. From week to week, it kind of has just a mind of its own. It kind of just goes on its own little course. The Daily Dose Top 5 this week, you know, we've got Christmas coming. In just 2 days. It'll be on Friday. And I started to think about, you know, there's certain athletes, they just kind of have that giving spirit. They just kind of have that, I don't know if it's an unselfishness, but it's a willing to give in key times. And I just thought about, you know, some of these athletes, they could be Santa Claus. There are certain athletes out there, they are so giving in their nature, they could be Santa Claus. Let's count down today. The Daily Dose Top 5 athletes that could be Santa Claus. Hey, hopefully he's coming to your house, you know, Thursday night, Friday morning. Whatever it is. Number 5 on our list. This guy, pretty mate, with this guy, that was like John Gruden-esque. This guy, you know, Oscar Robertson has the most triple-doubles in NBA history with 181. He had a 14-year career with the Cincinnati Royals and the Milwaukee Bucks. He had 181 triple-doubles. You know who's second? Second is Magic Johnson, clear back at 138. You might sit there and say, how on earth? I mean, now LeBron James gets like a triple-double and everybody loses their mind. How on earth did Oscar Robertson have 181 of them? Well, in the 61-62 season, he averaged a triple-double. In 61-62, he was averaging 30.8 points per game, 12.5 rebounds per game, and 11.4 assists per game. That's never going to be matched. No one's ever going to put up that huge of numbers in one season for his career. It wasn't like he played a short career. It wasn't like, but he played 60. For 14 seasons, his average, 25.7 points, 7.5 rebounds, 9.5 assists. This is a guy that was not afraid to share. We talked about Kobe early in the show getting an assist. This guy would assist. This guy had no problem handing things out. He did a lot of things to contribute. Oscar Robertson, there's a guy that could be Santa Claus in my book. That's a guy who does a lot of things to help you. Pretty unselfish player. I'll definitely put him on my list. Number four on our list. Athletes that could be Santa Claus. Wayne Gretzky. Center Wayne Gretzky played with the Edmonton Oilers, played with the Los Angeles Kings. Now here's the one thing. Because if you don't follow hockey, you might not really grasp this. Wayne Gretzky had 1,963 career assists. Now that doesn't mean anything, you know, in a vacuum. You sit there and say, well, who? If you don't follow hockey, you might not know this. You get a point for an assist and you get a point for a goal. Now in his career, Gretzky has 2,857 career points. Second place would be Mark Messier, who has 1,887 points. You say, who cares? Here's the thing I'm trying to tell you. Wayne Gretzky could have gone his entire career without scoring a single goal, and he would still be the all-time points leader in NHL history. Now, he still had almost 900 goals in his career, but he didn't have to score a single goal. If he doesn't score a single goal, he still is the all-time leading points getter in NHL history. Yeah, I'll take that guy. He might be Santa Claus. He can go hand some things out. He's not afraid to pass gifts around. It's pretty good. Number three on our list. Gotta be Utah Jazz guard John Stockton. Stockton is the all-time NBA leader in assists. The mailman, he was pretty good. Mailman didn't always deliver, though. Stockton did. Stockton had nearly 16,000 assists. Second place, Jason Kidd with just barely over 12,000. That many more. For his career, John Stockton averaged 13 points a game and 10.5 assists per game. Just always steady. Always steady with John Stockton. And dude was one of the greatest passers. It wasn't anything fancy. It was just always accurate, and it was just always steady. Yeah, John Stockton, he could definitely be Santa Claus. Here's a guy who's not afraid to share. Here's a guy who's not afraid to give things out. He could definitely do it. Number two on our list. Well, I don't know if we should have this guy on our list. Brett Favre. Wait a second. Hear me out. Here's the thing. Maybe Brett Favre could be like delivering presents in his Wranglers, even. In his career, he is the all-time NFL leader in interceptions with 336. Next guy on the list is George Blanda with 277. Now, some of that is longevity. Some of that, I mean, Brett played a long, long time. Some of that is Brett liked to share the ball sometimes, and he would throw it to the wrong team. He loved to give. He was a giver. Brief side note, one of the great things about doing this show is you go back and you do some research on some of these things. Here's a stat for you. I just want to throw this out briefly. In 1962, George Blanda had 42 interceptions. 42? How many times did he throw it that year? They weren't throwing it all over the place. I mean, maybe that's AFL football or something. Was he throwing it 100 times? 42 to the wrong team. Anyways, Brett Favre is also the all-time NFL leader in fumbles with 166. Again, it's a little bit of a longevity record, but bottom line, That's over 500 giveaways by Brett Favre. Favre might be our guy. He's a giver. He is a giver. I don't know who could possibly top Brett Favre on our list of guys that could be Santa Claus. Who are givers? Who, you know, good with the kids, good. All right, let's see who our number one guy is. Number one on our Daily Dose top five athletes who could be Santa Claus. Sean Kemp. What? How is Sean Kemp on this list? That's not Sean Kemp. He's not. Did Steve Harvey write this list? How is Sean Kemp on our list? I mean, he does have like 37 kids. I guess I could see it. And when you think about it, he does leave surprise packages everywhere he goes. Yeah, I guess it's Sean Kemp. There's our guy that could be Santa Claus. I sometimes, like I said, the Daily Dose top five, it just has a mind of its own. Sometimes we don't know where it's going to go. We don't know what it's going to do. But sometimes, yeah, it kind of gets it right. Hey, next week, we have our final show of 2015. We're going to take a look back at some of the greatest moments in 2015. Plus, we will preview the Orange Bowl between Oklahoma and Clemson. And we'll preview the Cotton Bowl between Michigan State and Alabama. I might even have a few New Year's resolutions. Hey, if you get a chance, head over to iTunes, give us a rating and review. We would appreciate that so much. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I would like to wish all of you out there a very, very Merry Christmas, a safe holiday season. I will see you all next week.